B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5.
Morning, Bill. Morning, Bill. You're effusive of your praise of George Kittle yesterday with the San Francisco media, and I'm curious as to how you've seen the tight end position evolve over the years, and what role do you think Gronk had in that, and also Mark Bavaro in your time with the Giants, as you ranked him as good as anybody you've ever seen in regards to Kittle.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of great tight ends through the years, and I would just say Kittle is very impressive. He does everything well. You know, it's hard to compare his career with other players that, you know, have played 10, 12 years and so forth. But what he's able to do and what he's done and our exposures to him is pretty impressive. He's very good at everything. Passing game, running game, run after catch, blocking. Effort, big playability, you know, you name it. He pretty much excels in every area. So
that's Belichick on Kittle today. And I got to give credit to the person that asked the question. Really smart. You want to get Bill to expand on an answer, go back in history and ask him about a giant. You know, invoke Mark Bavaro if you're talking about tight ends. If you're talking about receivers, invoke Mark Ingram. Was that one of the receivers on that
Phil
team?
Phil McConkey.
Phil McConkey. If you want to talk about linebackers, invoke Harry Carson. Oh, he'll whip it out. He'll pull a Jeffrey Toobin on you on the Zoom call. I love that story, Murray. I can't tell you how much I enjoy that story. You put a little piece of tape over the camera. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Unless you need someone to see it.
Oh, yeah, right. But like, that's how you get Bill Belichick to do the thing. You talk about coaches, ask him about Ted Marchabrota, you know, invoke Ted Marchabrota, the old Baltimore Colts coach when he came into the league in 1976 or whatever. Like, take him back to one of those. He will go on and on and on and on. And so smart job there to get him to go on Kittle by invoking Mark Bavaro. But that was a follow-up to what Bill did yesterday with the San Francisco media. I think Murray put it the best. I don't know if we can really say it. Mm. This show's taking a turn as it is. But Bill was cupping him yesterday when it comes to George Kittle.
He ever?
Kittle's a great player. He does everything well. I'd put him right at the top of the league there, period. His ability to run, catch, get open after the catch, block. He does everything at a high level. He's as good as anybody that I've coached or as good as anybody that we've played against. If you pay too much attention to him, he creates opportunities for some of their other outstanding players. And if you don't pay enough attention to him, then he can kill you. So he's in a great system. He's a great player. I don't think there's a tight end in the league. And we've seen a lot of good ones and had a lot of good ones. But I don't think there's anybody in the league that does everything overall as well as he does. He just really doesn't have any weak points at all. Just outstanding at every phase of the game.
Go ahead.
So he went on for a couple of minutes there yesterday, cupping him on George Kittle. He gets followed up. You know, this was this morning on the conference call. So smart question invoking Mark Bavaro and going through history. That was just half of the answer. Because again, Bill's going to go on if you bring up Mark Bavaro. So pick up the rest of that answer, Jimmy. Go ahead.
You know, I think when you look at complete tight ends, he certainly stacks up there to this point from what he's been able to do with, you know, just about anybody. And I certainly put, you know, guys like Bavaro and going back to, you know, earlier in pro football, 60s, 70s, 80s, where tight ends did everything. There was no receiving tight end or blocking tight end. Those guys, you know, they line up there for every play, the John Mackeys and the Mike Ditkas and great players like that. They're in the Hall of Fame. They lined up on every play and blocked and ran and caught and made big plays and blocked defensive ends and everything else. So, you know, you don't see as many of those type of players these days.
Huh?
But certainly Kittle looks like he could, you know, do everything that you would want a tight end to do.
Huh. Forgetting someone? John Mackey. So, of course, you know, Baltimore Colt. It goes back to his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
John Mackey, Mike Ditka, George Kittle, Mark Bavaro. Is there anyone that he might be leaving out?
Surprised he didn't name like Chris Cooley or Kyle Rudolph. Like, just say you hate Gronk, man. Like, it's so obvious.
Oh, my God. Between the answer in San Francisco, which must have been a couple minutes, we've just played you over 2 minutes of sound where he's going through history and listing tight ends and all, you know, all the things that they do in the and all this. And is he leaving somebody out? Am I missing something?
I mean, that one yesterday to me was more damning because he said there isn't anybody in the league. Like, or isn't anybody have coach? What was that line that you read when I saw that? I went, oh, my God. Like, that was so blatantly a shot at Gronk.
I'd put him right at the top of the league there, period. His ability to run, catch, get open after the catch, block. He does everything at a high level. He's as good as anybody that I've coached.
Or coached against,
or
right?
As good as anybody that we've played against.
And it's just one big blatant shot.
What a baby.
And I've coached some of the greats, like LG Crumpler.
Oh, my God. What a baby.
And it just happens to come during the week where Gronk has his renaissance.
Yeah. The first week Gronk wakes up, actually looks like Rob Gronkowski, catches his first touchdown pass, and everyone's talking about, ooh, here comes Rob Gronkowski. And he goes on and on about John Mackey and Mike Ditka and George Kittle being as good as anyone I've coached or played against. It's so good. Now, this you kind of have to appreciate, right, Murray? Because
yeah,
for the bitter.
I am for the pettiness, and this is the kind of stuff that I wanted, was like the subtle, not-so-subtle bitch fest between Bill and Tom and everything going on between these two teams throughout the season. This was going to be the most interesting storyline, and now it's heating up. It's heating up.
So then the same guy who was very shrewd by invoking Mark Bavaro and his question about George Kittle then follows up, which I found like the most preposterous as that headline I read yesterday. Thornton calls Montana for advice on leaving Bay Area. This is sort of akin to that because now Bill's just going on and on about all the great tight ends in the game and John Mackey and Mike Ditka and Mark Bavaro and guys that catch and block and do it all. Now here comes this follow-up question. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Is that the type of player that you prioritize in terms of talent acquisition, and what have you seen from Izzo in that realm?
Who? What? He says, he invokes, I forget the guy's first name, Ryan Izzo in this conversation.
I know. Yeah. When I heard this sequence too, it startled me.
So like, what?
And came out of nowhere.
Larry, the old special teamer.
So you value this, that, and the other. John Mackey, Mike Ditka, Mark Bavaro, Hall of Famers, George Kittle, as good as everyone you've coached or played against ever in football. Are those some of the things you saw in Ryan Izzo? Say what? So anyway, what's the answer?
Well, again, you're talking about some of the players that I mentioned are, you know, Hall of Fame players.
Thank you.
And again, I don't think it's definitely, you know, too early to talk about Kittle in that range. But again, based on what he's done in his career to this point.
The question was about Izzo.
I think he's as good as anybody I've seen. So you know, maybe not as good as Mackey, but I mean, you could put him up there with just about anybody you want to put him up there with. In terms of blocking, receiving, everything else. Bavaro was, you know, was a great, great blocker and a top receiver. But I would say Kittle's ability in the passing game is pretty, pretty special. So, you know, he's a great player, you know, but we'll get a chance to look at him in person on Sunday.
Okay, the question was about Izzo, but either way, on and on about John Mackey. I mean, he's as good as Mackey. No, Gronkowski.
None.
So petty.
Oh, and you know what he wanted to say when the Izzo name came up? He was going to say, well,
what are you talking about?
Are you serious with that?
Sniffing glue?
Acquisition, and what have you seen from Izzo in that realm?
Who? I think...
You know what else, too? So he's the master historian, too, right? Like, he names all those tight ends. He also leaves out Ozzie Newsome. Doesn't he have some sort of like petty bitch fest with him over the years?
No, I think he and Ozzie are good, or they were good. I think so.
I don't know. It feels like another one was left out there too.
The way he said it too, that first part about, well, you know, I don't know if he's as good as Mackey. Mackey. Who the hell has video of Mackey? Like, do I have to look that up now? He's not. I don't know if he's as good as Mackey. Oh,
that's him. You know, feeding his. That's like that's his impossible dream, you know, like his Baltimore Colts, my Yount. But either way, how petty is that? But my question for you now in the audience is, does he have a right to be petty on this one? Meanwhile, does Gronk bug you too? I mean, he shot his way out of town. He quit on you. He couldn't handle it. I mean, literally couldn't handle it here anymore. The Bills coaching, and, you know, I guess the winning wasn't enough. He was still making good money. Couldn't hack it. Shot his way out of town. Does he bug you too? Are you glad Bill's taking a shot at Rob Gronkowski? Because I feel like the tide has sort of turned on Gronkowski. Like, people are sick of him.
Yeah, totally. And that one I'm with Bill on, because the way that he did, he shot himself out of town here. And he acted like a complete a-hole. Remember with the whole, like, the dirt bike thing, the vroom vroom. And, like, he was purposely trying to get himself out of here. Brady was sick of the act over the last 20 years. That I understand. So I'm pro-Tom. But with Gronk, F him. And it's... Even though I liked him helping out the Bucks and Brady on Sunday, like him just talking afterwards with Aaron Andrews, like, enough. I hate hearing him. I'm so gronked out.
I'm going to save my reply until we get to the other side.
Okay, other side with Maz and your calls at 617-779-0985.
Younger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the snap on third and six. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy Gronkamole. The box score a touchdown with a minute two to go.
And Bill didn't want that Gronkamole in his face. I guess he said on EEI yesterday that yesterday was the best production he's gotten from the tight ends all year.
Yeah, he did. He said something to that effect.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the fumble at midfield.
On the day that Rob Gronkowski wakes up in Tampa, finally looks like he's going to do something, scores his first touchdown, we get all this tight end nonsense.
So this is the only reason I would say to Bill, shut up.
It's so petty.
Gronk I sent you guys the stats. Gronk against Green Bay, 5 catches, 78 yards, had the touchdown. Patriots tight ends this season, 6 catches, 82 yards.
This season. Gronkowski in one game has out, and he sucked this year, basically. Gronkowski in one game has outproduced your tight ends all season long.
So if you were to ask me, is Bill justified in speaking about Gronk this way? My answer is yes, unless he's trying to justify the trade still. You don't have to justify the trade. Like, if he's now worried that, you know, he's going to lose the trade because Gronk is playing well, oh, please. Like, is that what this is about? But Gronk being a pill here at the end... Gronk quit on the Patriots.
Absolutely. So
he
I think he holds it against him. And so, like, there's some justification there. The trade is nothing to be ashamed of. That was a decent trade.
I know, but all of a sudden, if Gronk starts producing and they're getting nothing out of tight end, people will look at it and say he didn't get enough.
Well, it's not the return. Again, if Gronkowski wasn't going to play for anyone, you have no leverage against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So getting a fourth-round pick in that situation is actually a decent return.
I told you, I think they did well on the deal, but that's not how fans will look at it.
I think fans are more going to look at, you just drafted two guys and you don't throw the ball to either of them? Like, they can't get on the field? Or that, well, I mean, Bedard said Asiasi was open all game long and Newton won't even look at the guy.
He said a half dozen times.
Meanwhile, he throws it to this Izzo just to fumble it? That was a huge fumble, by the way.
Massive.
So
look at, and again, maybe Bill's pissed at that too with Newton. Like, you know, we're getting the tight ends open and you're not throwing to him. Why won't you throw him the ball? Like, you know, and on the play, Bedard was one of the plays he cited earlier that I asked him about, which was a play where Newton seemed to hold on to the ball. It was earlier in the game. Two tight ends did drop out to the flat, one on each side. One was Izzo, one was Asiasi. And he could have dumped off the ball. Now, he might not have gained a ton, but he could have dumped it off. He didn't. He took the sack. It's, you know, so the guys are there. They may not be for big plays all the time, but the guys are there.
Okay, back to your thoughts on everything, as promised. Tony and Stoneham on Julian Edelman. Go ahead, Tony.
I want to talk about him in the tight ends.
Go.
Here's what you guys got to understand. Brady makes receivers. You had Welker come here. He was an average guy. He came here. He was an all-pro. He made Edelman, and he made Amendola. Amendola left, and he did nothing. Edelman's doing nothing without Brady. You guys don't give Brady enough credit. And I've always said, yes, Belichick is one of the top coaches in football. Boston's been very lucky. Two great coaches are backing him, the best coaches in their leagues. But you got to give Brady more credit than you do. And these tight end things, that was BS what Bill was saying about the tight end. He mentioned Gronk.
He didn't mention
by name.
Right.
But he mentioned any past or present tight end that he's worked with.
No, he didn't put his name in his mouth, Tony. He intentionally left his name out.
No, he totally did. And let's not get into this, you know, blanket statement nonsense about, you know, any guy who comes. No. The ones you want to emphasize, you name them. You name them. So he totally did it on purpose. There's no question about it.
In terms of quarterbacks, you know, Brady making his receivers, true.
Earlier in his career.
Most quarterbacks do. Brady had stopped doing it here, Tony. That's the point. Tony and Stoneham. Maz just said it. That had sort of stopped happening. For the first, 15 years plus, Brady absolutely did it. Helped make Dion Branch, made David Givens, you know, Brandon LaFell. I mean, you just name it. Guys that were sort of tweener guys, he made and helped make. And, you know, turned even guys who I thought really even that weren't that good, Ben Watson or Dan Graham. I mean, he helped make those guys for sure. Just like I think Russell Wilson has helped make DK Metcalf and some of those guys and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what's Vazdell Scanling and, you know, the guys that go in and out there with the Packers, Aaron Rodgers helps make those players. That's a common thing. The quarterback helps make the receivers. I'm a big believer in that. Brady had kind of stopped doing it here. He did. And that was a problem. And so but that's just on Brady. Newton ain't doing it either. You know, I thought there was hope there with N'Keal Harry through 2 weeks after that Seattle game. You say, okay, they're onto something here. Newton and Harry are building something. Well, that hit a brick wall, and so is everything else. I mean, I haven't seen Newton bring any of these other guys along. Maybe Bird a little bit, but that's going to be on Newton. That's one of the things he has to do. That's one of the reasons you made the change, or you should have made the change, is that Brady had stopped working with some of these lesser receivers, and Brady had stopped making the players around him better. So I expect that out of Newton. I expect him to make the players around him better. And that has stopped the last couple of games.
I mean, I wonder what's going on with Newton. Because, again, this goes back to the Oakland game. So he's only played two of the last three. He obviously didn't play in Kansas City. But he was like this in the Oakland game, too. This was worse. This past game was worse.
Chuck and Franklin on the tight end situation. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just want to talk about Ryan Izzo. I think Edwards is still down on him.
Chuck, I'm sorry you got to just pull over or go to a different zone or do something. You just broke up on me. You're on hold, though. Rob in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. I'm just talking about Kronk. Bill, they wouldn't have won some of the Super Bowl runs if they didn't have him. Bill is just as arrogant as anybody can be. And I don't remember. I remember Dicko, but I really remember Mackey. Let me tell you, Mackey was about as tough as they come, and he was good. So okay. I always had a lot of respect for Mackey.
Sure, fine. Myself. Okay, Rob Gronkowski or John Mackey?
Well, probably Gronkowski.
Okay.
Because he's more new. It's been a long time, but Mackey was a beast.
Okay, Rob, thanks for the call. One of the few guys who can call in and talk about John Mackey. Haven't seen him personally.
I've watched a lot of NFL Network. And I really don't remember hearing about this Mackey until today, I'll be honest.
Like, I mean, he's an old-timer. He played, as Bill said, I think in the 60s and 70s.
And great. I'm sure he's great with, like, seal blocks. But in terms of a pass-catching tight end, Rob Gronkowski changed it all. He's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He's the greatest tight end ever. And I kind of can't stand the guy. But just on the field, he's the greatest tight end I've ever seen. And I was able to even remember some of watching Mark Bavaro growing up as a kid. He was awesome, too. But it's Gronk. Precipitous drop-off, then everybody else.
Well, and here's where I distinguish, too, is like he mentions Dicka. Dicka was 6'3", 230. Gronk's like 6'6", 260.
He's a freak.
He was a force of nature.
Yes. And so I understand. Now, look, you got to grade them in their era. I get all that. But Gronk, to me, was Bavaro, but better.
And did it even longer.
Right.
I mean, Bavaro had a very short shelf life.
Real short.
You know, and same thing, though. Like, they played the same way, so they took a hellacious beating, and you just can't stand up for it. And you can't stand up to it for very long. Gronkowski's actually, he did it much longer than Bavaro.
Mike Ditka is a tight end. Because what? Because he would, like, celebrate with whiskey and go build a house like they did in those days after they finished a game? Come on, Bill.
Gronk would run Ditka over.
It's so petty. It's so great. Barbara in Beverly. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. How you doing,
good,
guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, That psychopath, Bill Belichick, I'm sorry. You were right yesterday, Falga, when you said he's getting old. I know about getting old. I am.
And we all do.
But you're a lot younger than me. But at any rate, I'm looking at Brady, and I'm saying Brady had the same problem with these receivers. The same thing, and he didn't shoot his way out of town. He left because he had to. His career was, like, on the line. And look at him now in Tampa Bay.
Okay, well, he didn't.
Thanks very much, guys.
Okay, Barbara, he didn't have to. It was a choice. You know, I think there would have been more winning here, a better chance for winning. I mean, we'll see how that plays out, but I still think he's better off at the side of Bill Belichick, no matter what the roster looks like, than he is with Bruce Arians, and no matter what that roster looks like. I just think your chances are better here. So I think he chose things other than just winning. What was the previous thing that, my thing on Belichick yesterday is just, I'm not telling you he's done or that he's over the hill or something, but I'm telling you, if a player had a day like he had on Sunday, that's what we'd be saying about him. And if you're going to be fair and put that on a player who's been in the league forever, who has a day like that, then you should do it to the coach. Now, he's a chance to answer and bounce back, and certainly he's done it before, and I expect him to do it again. But that looked like an old coach who wasn't ready for that day on Sunday.
Yeah, and Babs is clearly on the Brady side of it.
Of course.
I mean, with the way she talks about Brady, I'm wondering if she's pulling a tubing.
That's easy, Maz. Here comes Big Jim Murray's. That is my favorite story of the week, by the way. Here, Murray's update, and we're back with more. Are the Patriots finally going to get over the COVID thing? Or are they just going to let it consume their entire operation and just consume the entire season?
Consume.
Because that's what's happened here the last couple weeks. It's consumed them. Is this what we're going to get, or are they going to get over it at some point? Let's pick up that after, again, the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The COVID-19 situation. Again, I thought the Patriots would be the last team to be affected by this in a negative way. They'd have a plan for everything. But with all of the issues they've had, starting with Cam Newton a couple of weeks ago, it was fine. They were clean. Everything was great. It looked like they were going to have a positive all year long. It's going to be fine. They've cracked the code on COVID-19.
Yeah.
It started 2.5 weeks ago with Cam Newton. And, when you just don't play, when he doesn't play and they don't play, it's actually, was it 3 weeks ago?
It's been three weeks since Cam Newton's played.
For him. They've been dealing with the issues. They've got interior offensive linemen like James Ferentz, who's on the COVID-19 list. They got a bunch of guys on the COVID-19 list. And we're seeing what happens when you're the one team that is having these issues. And we're going to talk about the Titans coming up. It makes it even more impressive what they've been able to do dealing with their own issues. The Patriots haven't been able to deal with it. I mean, you take the Titans out of the building for 16 days, they're champing at the bit to get back and start kicking people's butts. You take the Patriots away, and they feel lost.
So I know you're not a big Mike Florio guy there, Big Jim Murray, but he nailed it there. That's exactly how I feel. The first part about Pats are the last team that I thought would get affected by this. The last. I thought they'd be the last team to have an outbreak. Never mind the last team to get distracted by it, or, you know, as Florio said, they have a plan for everything, and they either didn't have a plan or didn't have the right one or whatever. They're the last team that I thought that would get tripped up by this. I thought, in fact, it might be one of the reasons you have a good season, because others get tripped up by it while you just keep the train on the tracks. That's how I thought it was going to play out. And if you're being honest out there, most of you did too.
Yeah, no, I did too. I mean, considering that, you know, how it's always block out the noise and, you know, how they've been able to compartmentalize, especially towards the end of the Brady thing too. Like, you know, they focuses on the field, and I think he's right. You know, I'm not, like you said, I'm not a Florio guy, but he is right with what he said there. And I am ultimately surprised that they were the second team to get riddled with it.
So the surprising part to me isn't that they, you know, are susceptible to it. It's that Bill played into it. That's the part that I find stunning, is that he opened the door for them to get distracted by it, which is the last thing he ever does. I didn't see that coming. Like, you know, you want to tell me that even Bill Belichick couldn't get his team ready to play in a COVID because he couldn't practice? Well, okay, like, I mean, he is human, and at the end of the day, the team does have to practice. I get that. But him basically pulling his team off the field, giving his players the out like he did, that I did not expect.
So, Murray, are we done with it?
No, it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel that. So we've been playing all the day-to-day stuff from Bill in his conference call today. Like, it's still that still sort of feels like he's tacitly bitching about it or something, right?
And going back to the postgame on Sunday, that was an unsolicited answer that he gave when he started talking about the lack of practice. Nobody asked him about that. Do you feel like you lost this game because of a lack of practice leading into it? That was never asked. He just started, you know, spurting that out there because it's obviously bothering him. Who are you mad at? You mad at your players or you mad at the league? Okay, fine. You lost that game. You're mad that day. We're now a couple of days past. Why are you still saying, well, you know, we'll have to take it day by day. We'll have to day by day. Like, you're still mad. Why? You're the one that canceled practice last week. So what's the problem now? Do you know of more positive tests coming? Like, I don't get it. I don't know why he's carrying on like this. Embarrassing.
You know, I got my theories.
What is it?
The loss of control. He can't cope with it. I mean, it's who he is. And again, I don't blame him for it. I just think it's who he is. He's such a, you know, it's part of what makes him a great football coach. He controls everything. He's in charge.
So you're going to let it seep into a new week now?
I don't think he can manage it, is what I'm saying, that part of it. I think that because he's used to having control all the time and being able to make the call on everything, having this thing undermine him, and you can pin it on the league or you can pin it on the Chiefs or you can pin it on COVID. He can pin it on whatever he wants. But having it control him throws him for a loop, and he doesn't think straight.
Well, then that's on him. I mean, this all sucks. We've all had to pivot. We've all had to make adjustments. So you had your pity party. You lost to a bad team. Get it back together and get ready for San Francisco. And so far, with the way he talked today, it doesn't sound like he is.
There's another possibility that I fear and would be in keeping with him.
Go.
He's setting up his own excuse. You're 6-10 without Brady. Well, what do you want? We had COVID. The league gave us a small locker room. They wouldn't let us practice.
I wouldn't rule that out either.
And he's laying the foundation for an out for a bad season. And I'm just saying that's a possibility because he's not above that. He's not above it.
I mean, they started prior to the Denver game last week. And I don't think any of us picked up on it because we didn't think they were going to lose to the Denver effing Broncos at home, a bad team. And they did. And now it's just more excuse making. That would make me sick.
And I totally buy into that theory.
I mean, again, the tone today was, Bill, you're going to practice today? I don't know, day to day. You know, but, well, what about the Stones? You know, we're day to day, which is, to me, again, I'm, you know, we're projecting and reading into a little bit. But the undercurrent there is, what do you want me to do? You know, my players got COVID and the league does this and that. The locker room in Kansas City was small and, like, you know, what do you want me to do? And it's just sort of like the tone is just.
I was just going to say it's the tone more than the words.
Letting us all know this is still affecting them. And what do you want me to do? We can't even get on the field because the league's screwing us again.
I mean, because this goes back to what he was saying last week, hour to hour, hour to hour. Like, it's him basically just keeping that song playing. It's the same thing. So I like that theory.
Thank you. I knew you would.
I think that it's totally he's always, whether he'll admit it publicly or not, like, it's one thing for him to sit there after a game and say, we got to coach better, we got to play better. But when he walks away from there and goes back into his office, oh, he blames people. He does. He blames people. And he rarely blames himself.
They all do. All these coaches. What just amazes me is that, you know, he's the consensus best in the league. And, you know, most people think the best ever and has accomplished just so much, but he has all these coaches have these little insecurities and they just, no matter how much you win, it's like, you can't shake them out of it. They still, no matter how many games you've won or how great you are, you still, when you win a game, have to point out, we worked on that on Friday, telling everybody we had it, you know? And it's like, I don't think he'd be the only coach that might do this. If he thinks he's in a little bit of trouble here, the season might be teetering, to sort of lay the foundation for an escape hatch or a reason why. Well, what do you want me to do?
Oh, that's pathetic.
They gave us a small locker room, and they being the league, you know, exacerbated the spread, which, by the way, is complete nonsense. These guys are getting it off campus, not on. And but anyway, like, there's just sort of a built-in excuse. I would hate to think that that's what's going on there. What I'd like to see is him, now that he's had his pity party and he's let the players do their thing for a couple of weeks and get the COVID obsession, now it's time, like, fellas, so what do you want to do now? we're going to play these games. So why don't we've done everything we can. We got one game post-ball, and they're not going to let us do another one. It's now time to play the season. We can still do something special here. Are you in or are you out? And so, like, I would like to think that we're going to get that from him, but I'm not sure we have yet.
I mean, look, Brady used to throw these pity parties, and it took a couple weeks, right? It happened in 2014 with the whole Logan Mankins thing. He threw a pity party for a little while there, and he pouted. And then finally, I think he woke up and said, okay, enough, because I don't like losing. So I hope Bill has that in him, because at the end of the day, it's really they're going to follow his lead.
Okay.
To me, that whole Denver thing, the way they played with Denver and the postponement of the game, Bill opened the door for it. That comment, we're going to do what's best for our players. I feel that way. That comes first. I know Robert feels that way. All of a sudden now it's on the owner too. Like the guy who never mentions anything about anybody is going to mention the owner there, and he's on my side just in case this doesn't work. He totally opened the door for them to get distracted by it, totally.
Okay, your thoughts on that and everything else in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good morning, Bill. As we talk today, are things looking good for a regular week of practice for you guys?
Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day.
Yeah. And along those lines, couple opportunities for IR guys to potentially come back this week. Any sense on where David Andrews is in that regard?
Day to day. We are day to day on everything.
Yep.
Good morning, Bill. Given what you guys have been through the past few weeks, is there any thought to just doing away with like in-person meetings, doing virtual meetings as a full-time policy, just staggering guys and not like going to those more intensive protocols just as a full-time thing?
As I said, we'll just take it day by day then.
Are you guys hoping to do more in person this week, or are you planning on more virtual stuff?
Right now we're day by day. We're Tuesday, so see where things are today on Tuesday and make decisions on Wednesday when we know more on Tuesday and so forth. It'll just be day by day. Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day. Day to day. We are day to day. We'll just take it day by day. Right now, we're day by day. We'll just be day by day.
Little much, Murray?
It's embarrassing. It is. It really did bug me today because now we're 2 days removed from this game. And what happened to leader Bill Belichick? Ignore the noise, Bill Belichick. Focus on the task at hand, Bill Belichick. This is anything but. It's verge of COVID panic, Bill. This is what we have with him right now. Over the last couple of weeks, he sounds like me from 4 months ago. It's annoying. Who knows what the next day brings? Seriously. It's day by day. All the news is bad. It's day by day. Which one of my players is going to get COVID? It's day by day. Am I going to get it? Am I going to bring it home? Does Linda have it? It's day by day. It's day by day. My mind's not going to stop racing. It's day by day. Panic, panic, panic. Who is this guy?
Yeah, and again, the tone of it is just this attitude of, like, don't ask me. This is the hand they dealt me. You know, that's the part of it, right? Like, so if he wants to drill into his players, guys, here's how we're going to do it. We're only going to be 1 day in advance at a time here because it could all change, which I doubt he's doing, by the way. I bet you he's still planning out the week and then telling people if we have a positive test, everything changes. But publicly, to sit there and say, well, day by day, like we're flying by the seat of our pants here. This is the way it is.
It's just reminding us of the situation they've been put in.
Oh, yeah,
day
I know.
Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day. Day to day. We are day to day. We'll just take it day by day. Right now, we're day by day. We'll just be day by day.
Got it, Bill. They made you go into a small locker room in Kansas City. Got it.
So I come back to the same thing that I always say when something like this happens. How's it different for anybody else? How's it different for anybody else?
So, I mean, he's in a tailspin, and Mike Vrabel the other day is intentionally taking a 12-men-on-the-field penalty to save a ton of time and being, you know, talked about as the new genius coach in the NFL. And his team was riddled with it. It was the first one that had to deal with it.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Bill can't challenge an obvious first down pickup that his team gets and decides to let the other team kick a field goal when he could have backed him up 10 yards.
Because they've become obsessed with COVID. COVID obsessed. Feels like that is. And I so unlike him. So unlike him. So when are they ready to ignore that? Ignore the noise or not focus on the things you can't control? He's big on that. Can only control what we can control. And go out and beat the 49ers this week. Like, I don't know. Instead, he just can't, just repeatedly reminding us of the situation they've been put in with the day-to-day thing.
See, I do think it's part of his, like, and I say a personality trait, but his makeup, that if he can't control it, he'll quit.
Okay, so your thoughts on this and everything else. Mike in Redding. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, what's going on? The trade deadline is sneaking up on us in a few weeks. I'm hoping that they win. I mean, I'm a little scared that they're going to lose the next two games, be 2-5. And not do anything there, but I think there's going to be a lot of guys available that can help them with all the bad teams that are out there. I just hope we're willing to kind of spend the money this year, which is something that makes me nervous.
Me too,
so
Mike.
I'm hoping they kind of go after it.
Spent the least amount of money in the league, I think. Real money spending, I think they're 31 or something. They're in cap space, they're down there, like 31, 32 in cap space, somewhere in that range. I think it's the same in real money spending. I still think the team's worth investing in. Just because they're, quote-unquote, not a championship contender. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think many people do. You have a chance to win your division and win playoff games. So invest in the team. It's really short in some spots. So I'd put this on ownership, too, and everyone else down there.
And isn't it obvious, too, after watching last night's game between the Bills and Kansas City, like, you can catch them. The Bills are the Bills.
You are one loss behind Buffalo in the loss column with two games head-to-head. You're tied in the loss column with Miami and already have a head-to-head tiebreaker. It's right there. It's basically, the division's basically a dead heat. Everyone's in control of their own destiny. Buffalo feels like the arrow's pointed down. The bubble's burst a little bit on Kyle Allen. Meanwhile, Miami, who's won 3 of 4 and now looks like a threat, decided today, we're going to bench the quarterback that just won 3 out of 4 and we're going to put the rookie in. And so it's right there for you. Win the division, get a home playoff game, win it, and now you're in the divisional round, and that's a good season. So if you got to spend a little bit to improve the team in the next couple of weeks, go do it.
Yeah, I think the danger is that Bill looks at this year like he looks at 95 in Cleveland. You know, his final year there when it all got taken away from him because the owner moved the team out of town.
Or the other thing is just to say, well, the league screwed me, just like Art Modell screwed me in 95, and what are you going to do?
Exactly.
It's not my fault.
That's just gross.
I would hate to see that.
That's beneath him.
Here's Eric in Marble. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, yeah, hi. I just got a couple comments here. I think the foundation of this horrible COVID season has everything to do with Bill Belichick being exposed as a horrific GM, at least in the last 5 years. I don't want to get carried away. But when I looked at, watched that team on Sunday, I just saw a talentless just offense that was miserable to watch. And I think it's the reason why Brady left. Brady's to blame. He should have worked with receivers, but he's working with crap. He hasn't gotten anything, and I'm looking at a team that cannot survive this pandemic.
So, Eric,
terrible drafting the last 5 years.
Okay, his drafting has been spotty, no doubt. And there's a lack of talent in some key positions on the offense, no doubt. Those are both true. You're still more talented than Denver. You're still more talented than the Broncos. You're still a better team than the Broncos.
See, but I saw a team that was just absolutely brutal on all the key plays. I mean, again, go right through the game log if you want. I was looking at this morning. You know how all their drives ended? Every single one of them. Interception, bad sack, fumble, all on key play. That's how they gave the ball away.
Bad snap.
Yes, right, all of it. I mean, you know, they're driving, the ball goes over Newton's head when Tooney snapped it by him. Or Illuminor got hurt on a sack play that turned it in 2nd and 9 into 3rd and 18. Or Newton threw a pick. I mean, go back and look. They were all stupid plays.
The talent wasn't the issue on Sunday.
So they were so unpatriot-like, the plays that happened in that game on Sunday. I'm telling you, go right through and find them. Every series, you'll find one.
They weren't ready. Why? It's part of it. They're too busy obsessing over COVID. Is that part of it? Because that's what the coach is doing? And he keeps reminding you of it? Chuck and Franklin on the tight end thing. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about Ryan Izzo. I feel like everyone's really down on him so fast. I mean, you know, I know he only had a couple games last year, and you know, this year I think he's been playing really well. You know, besides that fumble, obviously, which was terrible. I mean, the guy's been blocking like an absolute champ. You know, he's been catching the balls that are thrown to him, and you know, he doesn't have a lot of targets. I mean, there's a lot of times he's wide open, and they don't throw the ball to him.
Are we talking about Ryan Izzo, the Patriots corner? Is that who we're talking about? Or do we have him confused with someone?
We're talking about Ryan Izzo. Yeah, I think he's a very underrated player, and he's a seventh-round pick, and the guy's been working his butt off, and I think he's playing really well.
Are you his brother?
He's only going to get better.
See, but,
I'm not drunk.
No. His agent or his brother.
Well, again, Chuck, you're talking about some of the players that I mentioned are, you know, Hall of Fame players.
No. Chuck, thank you for the call. And you know what? I'm okay with Ryan Izzo, too. The fumble really, really bothers me. That really bothers me, and that sort of bursts the bubble on him. I agree. He has been open on some plays. He has been at least representative. At least the quarterback will throw him the ball, where he won't even breathe in Asiasi's direction for whatever reason, who, again, Bedard tells us was open all day long, and, you know, Newton won't even look at him. Izzo, there might be something there, you know, just if he's wide open, he'll catch it. But if he's then going to fumble it on that key play, and I want to look it up, was that to convert a third down?
I don't remember, but it was a 16-yard gain over midfield. I remember that.
So I just want to look at it. Yeah, it was on 3rd-and-3. It was 3rd-and-3. You're down 12 points at the time.
See, another one.
That would have gone for like a 20-yard gain or something. I mean, you're in business.
Yep.
You can't fumble it there. You can't let that ball get stripped out of there. So, like, I don't want to say anything nice about Ryan Izzo right here, but I kind of would have agreed with what the caller was saying before he put the ball on the
ground. See, but I don't think Izzo's an Izzo problem. I think that's a Bill problem. And I know Bedard has talked about that. Izzo's a seventh-round pick. He's a seventh-rounder. And Bedard has talked about this. How long have they had a deterioration at tight end? When's the last time Gronk was really Gronk? And don't give me 2018, because he was a blocker in 2018. So now we're going to go back to 2017. So it's been 3 years. What have they done to shore up that position in 3 years?
Squat.
And if Bill thought Izzo was good, would he have taken two tight ends in this draft?
No.
So, like, to me, it's not – and again, I hope Izzo makes it. I'm not dumping on Izzo, but he's a seventh-round pick. Like, you're asking to hit the lottery there. That's on Bill.
You still had enough to beat the Broncos. That's a different issue. The talent at tight end, the talent at receiver, the talent on the roster is a separate issue than what happened Sunday. We do know we had Greg Bedard in earlier, and he blames one guy and one guy in particular for what happened on Sunday. You'll hear some of those comments coming back with your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.